Open your Bibles with me this morning to Genesis chapter 1. In verse 27, we read, it says, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created them, male and female, he created them." This morning I want to talk about a little bit about us being created in the image of God. So, at first when we read that, the first question that comes to my mind then is, what does God look like? You know, and a couple of weeks ago, I asked some of the younger ones in church, you know, what does God look like? And here's a couple of the responses I got. The number one answer is he's very old. Second answer was he's probably pretty tall. He has a long white beard, bushy white hair, and wears a long flowing white robe. You know, cartoon is some of the videos that you see of the Bible characters. Normally, the cartoonist normally adds sandals to them, and then these big bushy white eyebrows that are always sticking out also, too. A couple years ago, I actually heard a preacher describe God this way. He's somewhere between 6 foot, 6'2", dark skin, has a hand span of 9.5 inches, and wears a size 10 shoe. And he gave some scriptures to back that up, which we're not going to go into today. But most of the time, though, God is just portrayed as a loud, booming voice. But actually, the Bible does talk about what God looks like. Turn in your Bibles with me to Ezekiel. In the first chapter, we're going to see God gave Ezekiel just a little glimpse. Ezekiel 1, starting in verse 26, it says, "And above the firmament, over their heads, was likeness of a throne, in appearance like sapphire stone. And likeness on the throne was a likeness of from the appeared of his waist and upward. I saw, as it were, the color of amber within it, and from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness of all around, like the appearance of rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. And so it was in this appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God." You'll notice in those passages, he uses the word like a lot. Ezekiel, I think, had a hard time even describing God in human words. Turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to be flipping around just for a little bit here in the beginning to the last book of the Bible in Revelation, also in chapter 1, where we're going to see John got a little glimpse into heaven also. Chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "His head and hair were white like wool, as white as the snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like the fine brass, and as refined in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." You know, we read in Genesis that we were made in God's image. But according to those descriptions, I don't know too many people that look like that. You know, so let's turn back to Genesis now. We're gonna stay in there for a little while. And we're just going to go through a little bit of, you know, maybe what that means. You know, John 1:18 says the Bible has never, no one has ever seen God at any time. But, and, you know, we read these stories about Ezekiel and John, and also, you know, of Moses. You know, we talk about Moses and, you know, God appeared to Moses. You know, if we remember the story, you know, in the Exodus, you know, after he took Moses up on the mountain and put him in the Ten Commandments, Moses said to God, you know, "Show me your glory." And God said, "All right, I'll show you my glory." And if you remember that account, you know, God actually had to hide Moses in a rock. And he actually, it says in the Bible that he put his hand over Moses' face and he just got a glimpse of his backside. He just got to see God's back. He didn't get to see anything else. You know, and so Moses just got a little glimpse, and Ezekiel and John, both in Ezekiel and Revelation, got a glimpse of God, but they had a hard time even describing what God was like. You know, so when people saw God in the Bible, or God revealed himself to people in the Bible, they didn't get to see the full view of God. He was always veiled in some way. God veiled himself, or veiled those. you know, so they couldn't get a full glimpse. You know, when the Israelites followed God, it was always by Pastor Jeff talked about last week about the pillar of fire and pillar of smoke. That's what they followed. So God appeared that way. You know, the Hebrew word for the image in Genesis that we read is teleson, and it actually means an outline or a representation of the original. In some of your Bibles, if you read it in the New American Standard, it actually uses the word shadow. It's supposed to be a shadow of the original. The writer of Hebrews also says Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, Moses seeing God even though he is invisible. You know, John states in chapter 4:24 that God is just a spirit. He's just a spirit. So God is invisible, opposed to the physical nature of man. God doesn't impose a physical body. God is not 6 foot to 6'2" and does not have a hand span like us. But he has the characterizations of the us. We can never comprehend the invisible unless he revealed it to us. So let's go back to Genesis 1. And I want to start just a couple verses back from 27. Let's start in 26. Now, just to keep it in context of where we're at here, we're in the creation account. And God has just pretty much finished creating everything. You know, he created the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth. And then the fifth day he created all the sea creatures and the birds. And then the sixth day he created the land animals. And also on the sixth day he did something a little bit different. You know, if you remember when he created all those other things, you know, how did God create them? He spoke them into existence. He just pretty much said it and everything appeared. But here when we get to verse 26, he does something a little bit different. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So here we have the crowning point of creation, as theologians call it. The human being was created. He wasn't spoken into existence, but you know, as we read later in Genesis chapter 2, God actually formed man and then breathed into him the breath of life. He just didn't speak him into existence. And the human being, as we read in verse 26, was created in God's image. And if we read down through 28, it says he gives us our job, and our job is to rule over everything on the earth. And that means to, you know, take control and do as far as the animals. And we see we have a defined and a unique relationship for any other thing that God created on earth. This is the only time where God speaks about his creation as we have a job to do. Man wasn't not just spoke like everything else. Man was formed from the dust and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. So having the image of God means we are made to resemble God. It's not that we have the same physical appearance of God. Adam did not resemble God in the sense of having flesh and blood, but Adam resembled God in having the same spirit and being able to exhibit the same attributes of God's. You know, John 4 says God is spirit, therefore God can exist without a body. However, Adam's body did mirror the life of God, insofar it was created in perfect health and was not subject to death, just like God was. Perfect health and never going to die. So the image of God refers to the immaterial part of man. John MacArthur puts it this way. He says, "Man is a living being capable of embodying God's communicable attributes in his rational life. He was like God in that he could reason and had intellect, will, and emotion. In the moral sense, he was like God because he was good and sinless." Think back to the story of Noah. You remember Noah was on the ark. I don't see too many of my kids from my Sunday school class, but Noah was on the ark, if you remember, for 371 days, as far as we can count. He was on the ark for over a year. And after he got off the ark, the first thing he did was sacrifice animals. And if you remember, where did he get the animals to sacrifice? He sacrificed the clean animals because he took 7 of those on board. So as he was burning those sacrifices, God smelled it, and he remembered Noah, and he liked it. And then God began to spoke to Noah again. He told him to fill the earth, be fruitful, and multiply. And then God said to the animals, from now on, are going to fear man. And it seems like a strange statement, but the reason God said now the animals are going to fear man is because now God allowed Noah to eat of the birds of the air and the fish, and he could eat whatever he wanted as long as it was the clean animals. This is the first time that we see in the Bible where man was allowed to eat meat. But then later in Genesis, in chapter 9, verse 6, God says, no one or no animal shall ever kill man. And the reason because that is because man is made in the image of God and nobody else is. You know, if you ever studied capital punishment, this is one of the big verses that come up. This is the reason we allow capital punishment. In Deuteronomy, this verse is actually quoted. The ultimate respect for man is, if somebody kills a man, is to kill that person out of respect for them. You know, that's why we allow capital punishment in our country. You know, God says no one is allowed to kill a man. And no matter if it's an animal or a killer whale or another person, they should be killed. And that's what sets us apart from the animal world. We can portray God's attributes and commune with our Maker. You know, I know a lot of us are dog and cat lovers, but sorry, they just weren't created in the same way as we were. They can't communicate with God, and they can't display the attributes that we were created to do because they weren't made in God's image. But in Genesis 3, something happened that changed our ability to reflect the image of God, and that's the fall of man. The image was just not marred or distorted. It says that it was no longer viable. There was no longer way that we could reflect God's image anymore. But God, of course, had a plan to enable us to be conformed to His image. And remember, we said in the beginning that it's hard to comprehend the invisibleness in the attributes of God unless He reveals Himself to us. You know, in the Old Testament, He revealed Himself a lot of ways. He revealed Himself to Moses in the burning bush. You know, even just in the burning bush, you know, when we read the stories when God reveals Himself to us, Moses was afraid. He was very afraid. You know, He appeared as a pillar of fire. He also appeared as a donkey at one time, a donkey that spoke. He most commonly later in the Bible appears in visions, in dreams. Sometimes He appears as angels. And He appears through the prophets as we go through the prophets. And sometimes He can appear in plagues, you know, as He did in Genesis and Exodus, just in the 10 plagues. But in New Testament, He reveals Himself all in one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. You know, Colossians 1:15 says, Christ is the image of the invisible God. You know, Christ said many times, and a lot of times His followers didn't get it, and neither did the people that follow Him. He says, you are looking at God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and He's constantly referring to Himself. You're staring at God when those people looked at Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 with me. In verse 8, it says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. You know, the Greek word for image, when we look into the New Testament, it's icon, from which we get our English word icon. You know, and if you're a computer buff, you know what an icon is. An icon is a small representation of something that's bigger than herself. And that's what God calls us to be, a small representation of something bigger. We're supposed to be an icon. Romans 8:29, you know, we always think of that verse as, you know, that's the predestination verse. But it says, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. You know, our goal in life, you know, if you didn't make a New Year's resolution, here's your New Year's resolution for 2010, is to be made in the image of Jesus Christ. That's what He tells us to do in Romans 8:29. You know, so how do we do this? How do we become more like Christ, and how do we be conformed to His image? Unfortunately, Christ sets a pretty high standard. You know, in Colossians 1:28, it says, Him we preach, wanting every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. In Matthew, Jesus says, therefore, you need to be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's a pretty hard standard to live up to. So how do we become like Christ and conform to His image? How do we become perfect? Well, the easiest way is to accept Christ and what He did for us on the cross. 1 Corinthians, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Starting in the 42nd verse, 1 Corinthians 15, 42. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became living being. The last Adam became the life-giving spirit. You know, those verses are saying, though, that, you know, through Adam, we received a sin nature. And through Adam, we also received our natural bodies. But through the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ, we will receive our spiritual bodies. And we will bear the image of His body fit for heaven. He will conform our body. You know, I used to tell my kids when they were little, you know, when you get to heaven, it's going to look awful familiar because everybody's going to look like me. Because I already have my glorified body. You know, but that's basically when Christ dies, you know, he's going to fulfill that perfectness for us so we can get a body. Not only do our bodies break down and wear out, they're not fit for heaven. Our human bodies that we have now cannot dwell in heaven. And that's why God has to give us a new body. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. First John 3, starting in the first verse. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know Him, or does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Only by accepting the gift of Christ and by denying ourselves and obeying Him will we be conformed to His image. You know, Jesus talked a lot about, with His disciples, you know, about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven in His hand. And a lot of times He didn't get it. And, you know, there's a lot of times in my life where I didn't get it. You know, how do we become more Christ-like? I mean, that's easy to say, but not easy to do. You know, and if you think back and if you go through the Bible and find the attributes of Jesus, of course, they're exactly the same of the God. And those are the ones we are to portray. So when we think of the image of God, and us being created in the image of God, we don't want to think of a physical being, you know, because honestly, we probably couldn't get our mind around what God looks like anyway, even if we tried to do it, you know. So when we think of the image of God, we are created in His image, and that wording is that means that, you know, we were there to do and display the same things God did and the same thing Jesus Christ did. We are to portray all the attributes of God has in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and suffering and self-control. So if you forget everything I said today, just remember, you know, two key points. You know, we are to be an icon, you know, and that's just a little Christ. You know, Dave Clutinotti a couple weeks ago talked about being a little Christ. You know, we are to be just a small representation of what Christ is, and that somebody that is bigger than ourselves. And we got to remember, you know, as James McDonald once said, even the donkey knew riding into the town. It wasn't about him. It was about the guy on his back. You know, and that's the attitude we need to have. That's the attitude that Christ had. That's the attitude that John the Baptist had. You know, it was not about us. It's all about Him, and that's our goal. So, in closing here this morning, just remember that God revealed Himself different ways, you know, in the Old Testament, God reveals Himself in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And I know in my life, God reveals Himself in many different ways, whether it be through my family, you know, convicting, or through, you know, circumstances in our life. But He can reveal Himself in many different ways. Oftentimes, like the kids in Sunday school ask, why doesn't God speak to us like He used to? You know, and when you stop and think about it, He does. He does speak. He might not speak to us directly through an audible voice like He did to Moses, or He did to the prophets, or He did to Ezekiel. God does speak to us. The problem normally is we're not listening. You know, we don't hear that still small voice, and we don't take the time to listen to what God is trying to say to us. And so how do we grow closer to God? You know, Pastor Jeff preached on this 3 weeks ago. You know, you got to be in the Word. You know, if you're not in the Word, you're not going to hear what God's will is for your life. And I know in today's society, and when you're out shoveling snow 5 days in a row, that's not easy to do. But, you know, you got to dedicate time to be in the Word, become more Christ-like. To become in His image, we got to know what His image is. And the only way we know to be conformed to His image is to study what it is and to get into His Word. Let's pray. Father, we do certainly just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for revealing Yourself in the way You have through Your Son. Lord, we thank You that we know from the beginning, through creation, You had a plan. You had a plan for us to redeem us. Lord, we thank You for Your all-knowing power, Lord, that we won't understand. We just praise You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy that You bestow on each and every one of us, Lord. We thank You that Your Word says that it rains on the just and an unjust, and You look favorably upon the just and the unjust. Lord, we just praise You for giving us the living Word, for revealing Yourself to us that we can get to know You. Lord, we just thank You for the opportunities we get to gather in a place like this, Lord, to study Your Word, to grow closer to You. We give You all the praise and glory for the changed lives that are represented here, Lord. We thank You for the work that we know that You will continue to do in our lives, Lord. I would just pray that if anyone here, Lord, has not accepted You, that they would seriously consider what it means to follow You, Lord. And those of us that have followed You for a while, Lord, in this new year, I would just pray that we would reconsider our dedication to You. Lord, there is nothing more powerful, more effective, and more meaningful in life is to follow You. All things become small compared to You, Lord. Help us to remember that. Help us to remember that it is all about You. Lord, we are only here for a short while on this earth. Help us to become better evangelists, better fathers, husbands, wives, mothers. Lord, help us to be better grandfathers, grandmothers. We just praise You and glorify You in everything we say and do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.